and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, July the 5th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And here with me today, we have a seasoned veteran of the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself, seasoned veteran?
Hello, this is Bridget Zank. I am Joe's daughter, one of them.
And that lovely music that you just heard as we entered into this podcast, that was created by Bridget, and we are grateful for that. A seasoned veteran, would you tell me who you have to your right? Not that necessarily the people may be able to see him, not that he may or may not, you know, enter into this podcast, but it's important that they know that there are others in the area.
Yes, so I have brought with me today, bring your own guest to podcast day. I brought with me Malachi Brown, who is my partner, and he is home with me for a little bit. And so, yeah, we're excited to be here.
And it really is July 5th in the morning. The birds are singing, and so hopefully in the background you can hear some. We were just enjoying outside after spending yesterday celebrating independence here in this country. And Malachi is doing watercolors, which is kind of cool too. So, all right, here's what we're going to do. We've got 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time in front of us. We're going to pick up exactly where we left off from the gospel last week. Last week we were in Mark chapter 5, and actually the story, the raising of Jairus's daughter, was the ending of the fifth chapter of Mark. So we are going to go to the beginning of the sixth chapter of Mark. Okay, it's going to be a pretty familiar story as well. We're going to read the second reading today instead of the first. Often the first is chosen, as you know, to go with the gospel, but we're going to read the second. And Bridget, why are we reading the second?
Because I preferred it.
So Bridget's going to take you through the second reading a lot. And then we'll both go through the gospel. So, okay, with that, however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself to hear God's word, to allow that word to take root within you, I invite you to do that at this time. And so that the Spirit of God may find that home within you through this word. So let's break open God's word together. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weakness, in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, my friends, if there was something, an idea, a phrase, an image, a thought that came to mind while we are reading, whether it's that reading or the gospel, allow the Spirit of God to work with you, to speak to you, to continue to grow within you through that way, because that is one of the ways that God certainly continues to speak to us now. And with that, I am going to hand over to Bridgie so she can share the gospel with you. For those who would like to follow along, it is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6.
A reading from the gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So again, a pretty well-known story, right? Jesus goes home to Nazareth, and he incurs, you know, both good and bad there. But before we dive in, let me just say, Bridgie, take this wherever you want to go, whether it was the gospel, whether it was the second reading we heard. What spoke to you? What was that word or image or phrase or whatever idea that came to you that you're like, oh, this is really striking and I want to speak about it? So take that wherever you want to go.
Well, I'll start with the second reading because that's, you know, why we changed our readings today, because that one stuck out to me. So I know what stuck out to me in the second reading is just Paul saying that he really wants this, you know, this thorn he talks about, this thorn in the flesh that was given to him and by an angel of Satan, that he wants to be relieved of it. He's asking God, you know, God, give me your grace, give me the, you know, wisdom to be better, to be a better follower of you, to have this thorn out of my side. But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong, says Paul, through Christ. And I think that's really beautiful because I know for myself, I struggle a lot with my weaknesses and feeling not good enough for Christ and feeling not good enough to inherit the kingdom, really. And just knowing that Jesus's grace, what he did on the cross for us, that's the miracle. It's not about me being a better Christian. It's about the fact that Jesus died for me, to forgive me, to save me, to say, hey, I know that you're not perfect. I know you're trying, and I love you too much to not have you in the kingdom with me. So I'm going through all of this to take away your sin, to take away this thorn in your side at the end of time when you die. But you don't need to worry about being the perfect Christian right now because you can't be. And my grace is bigger than that. It's not about you being perfect. It's about my grace.
That is awesome. Thank you, Bridget. That idea is, the whole idea of perfectionism is actually, it is heresy. That it's the idea that we can earn our way to heaven and that it is our doing rather than the grace of God. And I like how Paul is saying this in the sense that he's saying, listen, this thorn in his side and theologians throughout history have been, you know, debating what is this thorn, and we don't know. But as your point is right, we all carry these imperfections within us. And I think most of us are like, help me get rid of this. Because then, as you said, we can feel more worthy of that presence of God, the kingdom of God, or you know, inheriting that. And so... I don't know if that is inherent in the human condition that we have to be able to earn, or we are trying to earn whatever grace, whatever good comes to us. And what Paul is saying is, stop. It's not about our earning. It's about God's goodness. And it's almost like we have to fall into the fact that in our weakness, in our this, you know, thorn in our side, in our continual falling, that God invites us to fall into his grace. And that's what we need. That is essential to being a child of God, is us falling. As you know, ironic and as contradictory as that may seem. But I like, again, I can't tell you the saint that said it. It's a very famous one. But don't remember at the time, but they said, first the fall and then the rising from the fall, and both are the grace of God. Both are the mercy of God. That even in the falling, what we chastise ourselves over, that God loves us even in the midst of it, in order that grace can be given to us.
And I think where the gospel comes in too is just talking about having that faith in God and knowing that we're not in control of earning that grace. We could never earn that grace. It's not about us earning that grace. It's about the fact that God loves us so much that he sees us in that grace and he holds us in that grace and the beauty in that. I've been reading about the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, in the book, The Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen. And so I can't claim these ideas as my own, but I've been thinking about it a lot. And I really like this idea that he pointed out where it takes a humility to find yourself in that grace, because we can come back, you know, as the younger son did in the parable, we can come back to the father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. And, you know, don't treat me as your son, treat me as one of your workers. I don't deserve it. But it takes a humility to find yourself in that love to say, I messed up and I know I have no control over whether I deserve your love or not. And the father just basks us in that love and say, I know I don't deserve this. And yet God still loves me so much that he is going to, you know, put the ring on my finger and a robe on me and slaughter the fattened calf because we've come home.
You know, that what Paul says in the second reading, in our weakness, God is strong. And it is so hard to be vulnerable. It is so hard to carry that humility, as you say. It is so hard to show our weakness. But the beauty is we all carry it. And we all put on masks to try to pretend that we don't. And then we live in a masked world. And our relationships become false between us, our very selves. I mean, we pretend against ourselves. And we fool ourselves. Or we try to fool other people. Or we try to you know, whatever it is, pretend that we are something we are not. When our God says, I love you as you are, and it's only when we can embrace who we are in our fullness, in our strengths, and in our weaknesses, that we allow ourselves to be loved, and that we can truly love the other in our life. And that is difficult. Oh, looks like Bridgie has something to say.
Nothing profound, but I just want to say... Yeah, that piece of like being able to love others also in accepting that God loves you in abundance and, I mean, boundlessly. There's no boundaries to God's love. And I think that has a huge piece in being able to love others is saying, I know that I can't control God's love for me, just like this person next to me shouldn't really have control over how much I love them. It is me trying to, you know... Yeah. Have God work through me in that abundance of love and sharing that with my neighbors around me and saying, just as I can't, you know, control how God loves me, my neighbors shouldn't be able to control how much I love them as well.
And I want to get to the gospel. I think, you know, it is all God's work, of course. I mean, but we have to participate in this work. I mean, we have to be the ones to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to be weak, to not try to put on this mask. But it's also, you know, had we read Ezekiel, what God does is say, hey, listen, Ezekiel, it's the calling of Ezekiel as a prophet, basically. And he's saying, I'm going to send you to this people that are rebels. They're hard-hearted. And it may or may not work, the bottom line is. But that's not up to you. You just have to go to them because they need to hear that I love them. And what they do with it is up to them. And in a sense, then, we see that in the gospel, because Jesus has been going around all these cities and all these regions around Nazareth and doing all these miracles and these works, and they are able to believe him. But then when he goes to his home, they're going to be a hard-hearted people because they know his past. They know his family. And you know, there may be Catholics who are wondering, oh, sisters and brothers, I thought Mary didn't have any. That's a podcast for another day. But that they know everything about him. And if you listen again to what the gospel says, the first part, when it looks at what the people are saying, they're saying, where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given to him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? And it's all positive. They're like, this is awesome. This guy's crazy. But then it changes when it says, but isn't he the carpenter, the son of Mary? Is not the carpenter the son of Mary and the brother of this family and the sisters? And that's when they take offense, because they can't figure out how this guy, who we know and we knew as a brat growing up, and he took my ball and from my kid or whatever when he was young and all these things, that can't be part of you know, this great prophet, this great person in our midst. And so they block themselves off from faith. And so God is not able to work through them because of their action. Brothers and sisters, I think if these readings tell us anything, they invite us to say, we have to participate with the action of God. It takes humility, it takes vulnerability, it takes putting our masks aside, and it takes the idea that God can come out of anywhere, anything, any idea, and that we can't close ourselves off to that, because we do at our own peril. As we get ready to close this thing up, Bridgie, any final thoughts? And then Mal will throw it over to you, just so people know we're not lying that Mal is right here painting next to us. And it's important that you hear his voice on this podcast. Bridgie?
No, I would just say my final thoughts are, you know, a prayer that I just want to say a prayer, and if you want to join me in it, then go ahead. Heavenly Father, I ask that you find me in my pride, and that you find me there, and you hold me, and let me feel your love, and know that it's not in my control, and the real mystery is your grace and your love, and let me just show that to others around me. Let me envelop my neighbors and the world around me in your love, and just please work through me and hold me in your heart and in your hands, and remind me often, because I forget. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Malachi, do you want to add anything for our listeners?
No, I think you guys got it pretty good.
Oh, come on, man. How much did it take for you to come up with that? Well, my friends, again, we are so grateful that you are able to listen to Mal's words of wisdom along with Bridgie and I. And we're going to take that to another prayer after just hearing Bridgie's beautiful prayer there as well. And so, as always, we invite you to begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And this week we concentrate and meditate upon the fifth joyful mystery, the finding of Jesus in the temple, as we look and find Jesus within our own temple and the temple of those around us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Special thank you to Bridget and Malachi for being with us here on this podcast. Always, as always, a thank you to you for listening and breaking open God's Word with me. Have a marvelous week. Be well, and God's peace.